I want to turn to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, please, to the book of Isaiah, and to the chapter number 48. And just with God's Word open before us, let us bow together in a short word of prayer, making it your prayer of your heart today, that the Lord would speak to your heart and to all our hearts and through His Word. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy presence with us today already. Do intensify that sense of Thy presence among us. Pour out Thy Spirit, O God, upon us today. Speak through Thy Word, Lord, to the salvation of souls, to the blessing, Lord, of Thy people, and to the glorifying of Thy name. Cleanse this vessel afresh in the precious blood. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. And grant us Thy help and Thy favor and Thy blessing, O God, in the preaching, Lord, of Thy Word, we pray. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for Thy glory, we pray. Amen and amen. Our text for today is the verses 17 and 18 of this chapter 48 of the book of Isaiah. Let me just read those two verses with you again. It says, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. O that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments, and they had then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Now, over in the book of Proverbs, it says there, "A good word spoken in due season, how good is it?" And those words really show us that a good word spoken at the right time is a blessing to all. In all of our lives, we do receive from time to time maybe words of support or words of comfort, words of encouragement, maybe on a birthday, maybe at the Christmas season, maybe on a wedding day or a wedding anniversary, during times of sickness, bereavement, retirement, maybe a new job or a new home. And we all appreciate as such words. Indeed, people, we should make it our chief business to always encourage others by our words and by our actions, and especially encourage them in the ways of the Lord. Whenever the Lord was speaking to Moses about Joshua taking over as leader in Israel, one of the things that God specifically said to Moses regarding his ministry to Joshua was, encourage him in the work of the Lord. Well, in our text this morning, the Lord gives a wonderful message of encouragement to His ancient people when they were about to face 70 years of captivity and trial in Babylon. This captivity was really as a means of chastisement because ancient Israel had turned away from the Lord. And indeed, one of their chief sins had been a forsaking of the Sabbath day. And God always chastens His people when they stray from the Lord. The Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." By the purpose of Israel's chastisement was spiritual refinement, was to get them to turn away from their waywardness and the ways of self, and to turn around to the Lord and to start living for the glory of God again. And the Lord speaks of that purpose of spiritual refinement in verse 10 of the same chapter. And He says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." However, in the midst of all this, the Lord does not forsake His own people. And proof of that is seen here in verses 17 and 18, where we have this gracious message of encouragement from the Lord to His people at this time. And He says, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. And oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." And friends, for a little while this morning, it is that same gracious message of comfort and encouragement to God's people that I want us to consider and think about. In these verses, there are great words of encouragement for all God's people in all the battles and all the trials of life. And in this gracious message of comfort, there are three precious truths for us to note and glean this morning. First of all, in this message of comfort, you'll notice that the Lord assures His people of His own relationship to them. Notice what He says there at the beginning of verse 17. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God." And there the Lord reminds His people that He was their Redeemer. Through the blood of the Lamb shed on the Passover night, He redeemed them from the bondage of Egypt. He delivered them from the death of the firstborn. The Lord said to His people at that time, "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Can we say that as their Redeemer, God was one who chose Israel in grace to be His special people? Notice what He says there in verse 17. He says, "I am the Lord thy God." And can I say that that is a covenant that can never be broken? Because the Bible declares that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, and God still has a purpose for His ancient people Israel, and that purpose will be fulfilled to the last letter until Jesus comes in power and in great glory. He will not cast off His ancient people. And can I say also this morning, in like manner, dear believer, the Lord, yes, has redeemed you and I also from the ruin of our sin, from the penalty of our sin. And this He has accomplished through the shed blood, the atoning blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, "For as much as ye know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." And dear believer, in this great work of redemption, the Lord has chosen you to be His child and to be amongst His family and His redeemed people. The Bible says over in the book of Ephesians, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." And let me say this, believer, this is a covenant relationship that can never be broken. It can never be severed. Turn your Bible back there to Psalm number 73. And look at what the psalmist says there about that relationship and about its eternity. How it is an eternal relationship in verse number 26 of Psalm number 23. He says, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart." And notice what he goes on to say, "and my portion forever." Dear Christian, get a grip of that truth in your heart and soul this morning. The Lord is your portion forever. You as a believer, redeemed by the blood of Christ, saved by sovereign grace, born again of the Holy Spirit, are the Lord's child forever. Well, because of God's redeeming power and grace in your life, dear believer, what has God done for you? He has pardoned all your sins. He has saved you from hell and from a lost eternity. And dear Christian, understand this. No matter how dark your circumstances may be in life, nothing or no one can ever sever you from the hand of Christ and the blessings of His salvation. Did not the Lord promise all His people, "For I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will not fail thee." My thinking upon that very matter, the hymn writer asks these questions. They say, "What power my soul can sever? Shall life or death or earth or hell? No, I am His forever." And dear believer, this is your portion in Christ today. You are His forever. The psalmist could say, "The Lord is my portion forever." Things change in life. The things of this world, they come and they go. But that blood-sealed friendship changes not. It is for time and for all of God's great eternity. Once a friend in our meeting this morning, let me say this. That if you are to know in your life the blessings of God's salvation and God's redeeming power in your life, then you have a responsibility as a sinner before God. What is that responsibility? It is that you repent of your sins, that you turn to the Lord and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to Him. Ask Him to blot out your sin in His atoning blood shed upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, you must come as a sinner to Christ. And the Bible promises in John chapter 1 and the verse number 12, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Praise God, no matter who you are. No matter what your sin is or has been, if you come as a repentant sinner to Christ, acknowledge your need as a lost sinner, confess your sin to Christ, and rest upon Christ alone. Rest upon His blood alone for the cleansing away of your sin and the salvation of your soul. And the Lord will save you for time and for all of the great eternity of God. Yes, in this message of comfort we see the Lord's assurance of His relationship with His people. But notice secondly this morning something else. In this message of comfort, you'll notice that the Lord assures His people of His kindness to them. What was that kindness? Look at the latter part of verse number 17 of Isaiah chapter 48. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Now in His kindness, what did God do for Israel? He taught His ancient people to profit. And this He did by giving them both the moral law, the Ten Commandments, and also the ceremonial law for their instruction in the Old Testament. Indeed, speaking of the law of God, the psalmist could say, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You know, as well as instructing them by His law and by His commandments, in His kindness He guided them through the wilderness into the promised land that He had given to them. Turn with me back to Exodus chapter 13 and to the verse number 21 at the end of that chapter, and you'll see there how Moses makes reference to that leading of God, that guidance of God in their life as a nation. It says in verse 21 of Exodus 13, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And it says there, the Lord led them. The Lord went before them. Oh, think, dear believer, of how kind God has been to Israel. Awful. He has instructed them in His laws. He has led them. He has guided them. And likewise, dear believer in Christ, yes, the Lord also has been exceedingly kind to you and I and all His people as well. My inner lost condition, what did He do? By His regenerating power, He brought light, the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, into our darkened souls and lives. My God opened the eyes, so to speak, of our spiritual understanding. He made us see our lost condition. He made us see our need of Christ the Savior. And by His Spirit and by His grace, He drew us each one to that place of repentance toward God and that place of saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. The Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 1, and you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. In His kindness, He quickened us to see our need of Christ, to feel our lost condition, to come in faith and in repentance to the Lord. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. All our salvation, my, from start to finish, is all due to the grace of God. It is all due to the kindness of God. In one of the Psalms, the psalmist could say how he will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. And people, not only has the Lord been kind to you and I as His people, He has demonstrated that kindness in great love, in eternal love, in sovereign love. How God has loved us, we can never tell. But it is beyond all human comprehension. It is all beyond all human understanding. The love of God to us whom He has saved, as well as enlightening us in the knowledge of Christ. The Lord also has led us as His people in the way that we should go. He has led us by His providence. He has led us by His word. He has led us by the promptings of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost in our souls. Dear believer, the Lord has not left you to make your way to heaven yourself. He has not saved you and then abandoned you and left you like an orphan to make your own way to heaven itself. No. Think for a moment of His great promise in verse 8 of Psalm number 32. The Lord says there, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. How kind the Lord has been. Just as a father or mother would take a little child by the hand to lead it along the pathway. So, dear believer, from the day and hour you and I have been saved, the Lord has come. He's come near. And He's taken us by the hand, so to speak. And He's led us a long life's journey, a long life's pathway. My considering the leading of God in their own life, the hymn writer said this. She said, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy? Who true life has been my guide? I'm sure, dear believer in Christ, you and I, every one of us who are saved in this meeting this morning, we can re-echo those same words as our testimony today. We can say, yes, all the way the Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy? Who true life has been my guide? The psalmist could say, the Lord shall guide me with His counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Brethren and sisters in Christ, what kindness the Lord has shown to you and I and His people, the greatest of all kindness. He has taught you and I our need of Christ. He has shown you and I our need of Christ as Savior. And the Lord has saved us and He has led us thus far by His grace. Praise God. But you know, it's not ending there, dear believer. We can say with John Newton, the hymn writer, by His grace, He will lead us home. You see, the Bible says of the Christian, he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just the kindness of God to His people. Might we see the Lord's relationship to His people. But notice one final thought from this great text this morning. Notice also that in this message of comfort, the Lord assures His people of His desire for them. What was that desire? Well, you read of it in verse 18 of our text. The Lord says, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. What was God's desire here for ancient Israel? God's will for His people was that they would listen to His voice. That they would listen to His words. He says, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Now, sadly, in the past, they had not listened. And this is why now they were facing 70 years in captivity in Babylon as a nation. But now, in grace, the Lord speaks afresh to them. And again, He calls them to hearken unto His word through these very same words. He says, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Yes, with this call to hearken, you'll see that God promises them a great promise of peace. He says, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then have thy peace been as a river. In the original language of the Old Testament, that word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. What a word that is. That word shalom, that word peace there, it conveys welfare. It conveys spiritual prosperity. Yes, it really conveys good of every kind. That's all bound up in the meaning of that word peace. And the blessing here of such peace, you'll see, would be abundant. It would be like a river flowing over its banks, conveying fertility and blessedness in the land. For God says, "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river." Then you'll see something else that God promised to me. He promised that their righteousness, he says, would be as the waves of the sea. In other words, by hearkening to the Lord, they would bring boundless stores of blessing upon themselves and upon the land and upon the nation. And this blessing would reach into the generations to follow, to their posterity. For look at verse number 19 of the chapter. Notice what God goes on to say. He says, "Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof." Instead of being reduced to a small number by the calamity of war, God here was promising that he would cause Israel to multiply as a mighty nation, as a mighty people. And brethren and sisters in Christ, what a word there is there for you and I as God's people today. Dear believer in Christ, can I say, as it was with Israel of old, it's the same for you and I. We too are to listen to God's voice. We too are to listen to God's word. We are to hearken to God's word. Let me say this, Christian, you and I are not to listen to the voice of self. We're not to listen to the voice of the flesh. We're not to listen to the voice of the world or the devil. We are to hearken to our God, to our Heavenly Father, to His word and to His truth. Remember what the Lord says in Psalm 34. He says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Dear believer, the Lord has an invite to your heart today and to my heart. And it is this: come ye children, hearken unto me. We're to hearken to God's voice, not the voice of others. The voice of God, the voice of His word, the voice of His truth. Sadly, we live in a day when many Christians are listening to the voice of the world, or the voice of the ungodly, or the voice of self or the flesh, or some other voice that is not of God. Dear Christian, day by day, God wants you and I to listen to His word, to listen to His voice. It was John Calvin, the great Protestant reformer, speaking of the Christian life, said, "Obedience is the end of our calling." And this is one of the purposes of God saving His people, that we might obey the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. General Stonewall Jackson, one of the commanders in the Confederate Army in the Civil War of America, he spoke on one occasion to the commander of his forces, General Lee. And can I say, both those men, General Jackson and General Lee, were two of the most godliest of men ever to stand upon American soil. And Jackson said to his commander Lee, he said, "Your slightest wish is a supreme command to me." And dear believer, that is how it should be with ourselves and the Lord. Dear people, we are to obey the Lord. We're to hearken to God's voice. And believer, when you do that, God will bless you. God will use you for His honor, for His glory. Turn back to Psalm number 1, and you'll see this for yourself in the Word of God. Psalm number 1. Look with me at the first three verses of this great psalm. And really, it's the blessed man, the psalm of the blessed man. But notice the mark of his life and the blessing in his life. It says in Psalm 1 there, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." He delights in God's word. "And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What's the way to prosper with God and people? That's all that really matters in life. It's to hearken to God, to God's voice, to God's word. The psalmist could say in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The Bible says, blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. O believer, when you walk with the Lord and obey His voice, God promises this in His word, that you shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. O believers in Christ, this morning, as you and I face a new week, with all the challenges of life and the battles and the trials of life, let us pray for grace day by day to hearken to the voice of God, to follow the Lord fully, to heed His voice in every circumstance, in every situation of life. And we will be vessels unto honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, that God can flow through and God can use for His honor and for His glory.